the moment. Can you remember the moment when you first felt fear, tasted torment, when the world lost its precious safety? Was it the bully? Taunts and hands that ripped a white shirt and the playground's innocence from your body? For the bully, it was the hand laying its anger across his face, destroying wonder, making love hurt. It's different for you, for me, but I think we all have one, a moment.
So in the next song, you would see us wearing masks. In case you're wondering, in mainland China, it's pretty difficult for us to come out. Many of us choose to cover their identity, their LGBTQ identity, because it's very risky for them to let other people to know they are gay or LGBTQ group. Many of them would lose their jobs. Their family would be against them. They wouldn't have a easy life to live because of that. So we are wearing the mask to honor those people who are who lives a difficult life as an LGBTQ group.
So, is there a part of you that is masked? I want you to take a minute in silence to reflect. Do you have a moment when someone said or did something that made you bury a part of yourself, deemed it unworthy, broken, dirty? Is there a part of you that is hidden behind a mask of someone else's expectation? A mask perhaps someone forced you to wear. So did you discover one in the quiet? Perhaps the person who told you you couldn't sing, had no rhythm, couldn't do math, or maybe it was a deeper injury or emotional or physical assault that kept you from finding your voice, becoming who you really are. Sometimes we're told something by a person of influence, a sibling, a parent, a friend, a teacher, at a very young age, and it sinks deep in, becomes something that we cover up, something we believe and bury and reinforce over a lifetime. When I was in seminary, there was a visiting professor from Emory there who was working on his PhD. And his name was Theophilus Smith, and he was a African-American man, and he had been taught at a very young age that black people can't do languages. He believed it. He internalized that, and he carried that, and when he got through his master's, he thought, I can't go for a PhD. How could I ever learn Latin or Greek or speak Spanish? Kept him for years from pursuing a postgraduate degree. Till finally somebody said, that's bunk. It's just bunk, Ted. And, like, get over it. So he came to Harvard, and he struggled, And when I met him, he was fluent in Spanish and German and could translate Aramaic, Greek, and Latin. And he got his PhD in theology, and he is a great professor at Emory now. You know, science has been trying to debunk this idea of beliefs matter for years, and they kept bumping into things like the placebo effect. You know, when they give you one medication in a trial that's a placebo, it has just a sugar tablet, and then there's the one that's the real medicine that they're testing. And often the placebo has more effect because people believe that they're getting something that will cure them. And they actually begin to have their symptoms go away based on belief, not medicine. And sometimes the data is so corollary that they can't tell what's more effective, the medicine or the belief. So they always have to counter for that when they're doing a trial, to know that there are some people who are going to believe so strongly that they're getting the medication that they cure themselves. Beliefs matter. And when we believe in ourselves, or when we don't believe in ourselves, it makes a difference in how we walk through the world, how we reinforce those diminished selves as opposed to celebrate all of who we are and who we can be. It was 4 years ago that the Dalai Lama came to the Senate for the first time and offered the prayer to open the Senate. And what the Dalai Lama said to inspire them was, "With our thoughts, we make our world. Our mind is central and precedes our deeds. Speak or act with a pure mind, and happiness will follow you like a shadow that never leaves." We come here to church to change our beliefs, to take off our masks, to test our true selves, to find the courage to be who we truly are and want to be. And through our courageous loving of one another and our unconditional acceptance, we become our true selves, strong, beautiful, productive, and inspiring. That is what a church is for. And it's for us to take those empowered selves out into the world to help others discover who they are, that they not suffer living in diminished lives, but find and ignite that spark to follow their calling, to serve something greater than self that allows their lives to have meaning and purpose. If we believe in ourselves, if we believe in Ishwar, if we believe in our democratic process and our governance structures, if we believe, everything will be all right. But we have to believe that everything is all right first, so that we can move past that fear, move past whatever inhibits us, so that we can empower a global community, so that we can diminish the power of the fear mongers, whether it be Putin or Trump. If we trust that the democracies of our world are strong enough to resist cyber attacks, and that our structures are strong enough with checks and balances for us to manage through this particular period of tumult and challenge. We will. The best of who we are will shine. But only if we believe. For every moment of disbelief diminishes our power. Remember that what you believe about yourself and others matters. Manage your beliefs with intention and hope. Create your vision and then sing. Sing your song.